In the readings today, we hear quite a juxtaposition of things. We hear, for instance, Ezekiel telling the people of Israel that the temple is going to be destroyed, and yet they're not going to mourn, they're not going to cry, they're not going to do any of the usual things that the Jewish people used to do, covering their beards, not eating certain things, going about barefoot, things like that. They wouldn't do any of that. And then we hear about this young man in the gospel. And when Jesus told him, if you want to be perfect, go and sell what you have, give it to the poor, and then come and follow me, you'll have treasure in heaven. The man went away sad. He's mourning his junk, literally. His attachments were so profound to his things, it's pretty evident that's how he defined himself, by his stuff. Don't we often do the same? We'd like to be able to look at the situation going on in the world right now and in the church and say, if something happened to the church, people would mourn. Huh. People are rejoicing. Look what happened when the churches were closed. There were lots of people who were so grateful that they didn't have to go to Mass anymore. And lots of people who still don't come to Mass because it's the same as watching it on TV. There's no difference. When people ask me about that, I say, well, you know, the soldiers who are sent over to Afghanistan or Iraq or wherever they're sent, said today, because of modern technology, they can FaceTime, as they call it, with their wife and their children and so on. I said, it's a wonderful thing. They can from here, they can see his face. From there, he can see their face. He could carry on a conversation. There's no difference between that and being in person, is there? I said, oh, yeah, there is. But we don't have to go to Mass. Let's turn that around. Do we want to go to Mass? Are we going to Mass because we have to? Because we're required to? Or are we doing something because we love God? And that would be the desire of our soul, is to be able to be there. And more than anything, to be able to receive him in Holy Communion, be united with him in prayer. But when we see things like what happened in the Olympics a couple weeks ago, thankfully there was some outcry about that. And yet, there's a supposedly Catholic newspaper that just put out an article yesterday ripping on Catholics who were upset about this, because we're supposed to make friends somehow with the world and not be a sign of contradiction. Like, isn't it amazing how we have taken the gospel, twisted it, turned it upside down, and we are accepting exactly the opposite? It's like the gospel of health and wealth. I've harped on that how many times? But it's a whole lot easier to believe that Jesus just wants you to be rich, wants you to have no suffering, wants everything to be wonderful for you. He wants no problems in your life at all, because he did it all after all. And so you don't have to do anything. Now, there's no place in the gospel that even hints at that, but like I said, it's a whole lot easier to believe than the truth. It's a whole lot more pleasant to look at than take up your cross and follow me. And so we tend to push the truth aside for something that is false. And if push came to shove, so many would mourn the loss of their stuff. But they do not mourn the loss of their faith. They don't mourn what's going on in the church right now. Instead, they're rejoicing in it. Isn't it wonderful? Everything is so great now because the church has finally come into the 21st century. Right? By denying what we believe? By denying what Jesus himself taught? Because somehow over the last 21 centuries, the church has changed, not the church, the truth has changed. And so the truth that Jesus spoke, and he is the truth, so all he can speak is the truth, but it's no longer the truth because now we have a new truth, and isn't it wonderful? Let's have another synod over in Rome so that we can figure out what things we don't believe anymore, and then we can rejoice. Because the church has finally gotten with it. I don't think so. But do we see what's going on? And where is the heart? That's what each one of us needs to look at. I'm sure people come to daily mass, obviously, here because you want to be here. You don't have to be. You're here because you love the Lord. You're here because you want to be with Jesus. God bless you. And I'm sure if something happened, you wouldn't fit into the category I was just talking about. But ask yourself about the majority of people that you know who call themselves Catholic. What's their response going to be? What have we seen over the last few years? That's the troubling part. But even for many of us, as we are here today, how many of us have put so much importance into our material things, into our blasted money? What are you going to do when the economy crashes? It's coming. Are we going to panic? Are we going to be traumatized? Are we going to mourn because of the loss of our money? How about the loss of the faith? How about the loss of souls? In 1917, Our Lady said souls were falling into heaven like snowflakes. What would she be saying today? It's a whiteout. And how many people care? How many mourn the loss of souls? Those are the kinds of things we have to look at. The people looked at Ezekiel and said, what does all this mean for us? And he said, what I did, you're going to do. The temple's going to be destroyed and you're not going to care. You're not going to mourn. It isn't going to matter. In fact, how many of them would have said, oh, good, I don't have to go and offer sacrifice anymore. I don't have to do these things anymore. Again, we have to look at our hearts and ask, do I want to do these things out of love for God? Or do I have to do them because it's a matter of duty? God is looking for love, not going through the motions. So something, again, for each one of us to look at. And regardless of what happens, remember to stay faithful to Jesus, no matter what. Even if the churches are locked up, even if they're closed, even if things are destroyed, it doesn't matter on that level. Yeah, it'd be horrible if we can't get to the sacraments. But you can still pray. You can still remain faithful to the Lord. You can still live your faith. That is going to be required no matter what happens. But the only way that that will be done is if we want to be with the Lord. If we are putting him as the priority. So right now, while we still have an opportunity, great opportunity then for us to look into our own hearts and to be able to ask, what would I mourn if it was taken away? Where are my priorities? What is the real desire of my heart? great thing for every one of us to consider. And if God is not the top priority, then let's make some adjustments so that we can get things in the right order. God first. Everything else comes after that in its proper way. But let's put God first so that we're truly living our faith. That way, no matter what happens, we can still maintain that focus. We can still maintain the charity. And we will mourn what ought to be mourned, and we'll rejoice in what we ought to be rejoicing in. But most importantly, the heart, the soul, will be focused on the Lord.